Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, America, and welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. You're about to enjoy the best in gospel music only on the Six Eyes Radio Network for this April 23rd, 2023. How's everybody doing this afternoon?
Doing okay, Six. How you doing?
Doing great, Wolfgang. Doing great. And hello to you, Sister Ruth Gang, First Lady Wolfgang, everybody else on the phone line.
I'm hanging in there, buddy. I'm doing all right.
Good, 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 good. So hello to everyone that's on the phone line. Say hello. God gave you the voice to use this morning when he breathed breath into your lungs.
Hello, big bro.
Hello, hello. Okay. Now, new house rules. If you are enjoying your favorite TV show, please put it on mute so we can enjoy the best in gospel, the best in gospel. So we will have all mics muted. When the pastor preaches, we'll have all mics muted. And that's how we're going to do here on out, so everybody can enjoy the show, because we are global. The Six Eyes Radio Network is worldwide. So, yes, had a beautiful time at the Cleveland Orchestra yesterday. Beautiful time. Now, Wolfgang, opera. Now, they're doing a tribute to Mozart. So with that right there, they had a opera portion. And when I tell you this lady was flawless, I've never seen a live opera singer. Now, you hear a lot of albums, you know, a lot of TV shows. But, I mean, the control that she displayed singing, really enjoyed the Cleveland Orchestra the other day. Now, they said we were going to have dinner. Their ideal of dinner is hors d'oeuvres. So let me tell you what I had. I had a sauerkraut ball, one meatball. I had two skewers with Triscuit crackers and what they call a puff. I don't know. It's like a pastry. So it was like sugar and cheese combined. So that was a good time. So that's my audio for yesterday. So who all do we have with us?
Well, we've got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and of Angels. We have Kenny, Emily, of course, you six, and I think her name is Queen Nine.
Queen Nine.
Okay. Yay!
Queen Nine.
Yay. All right.
All right. Welcome. Welcome.
Formerly known as Princess Nikhil.
Okay. Well, welcome, Queen Nye, to the show. And once again, out throughout the city and states and faraway countries. Everybody else that may be on the phone lines, have been pressed the one, we welcome it, you as well. So thanks for calling. You're about to enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show. Amen. And my mental today is good. Good mental, I would say a 10. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. I am a 9.
What's your new name?
Well, that makes me a 10. That makes me a 10.
Well, what does not, what does, when you say quick?
N-I is short for Nikhil.
Oh. Okay.
The light bulb went off.
Well, I haven't had my coffee yet, so, you know, blame it on the coffee.
Even Missionary Ken got it.
I'm a little slow today, but I love my coffee. It tastes good.
Yeah.
Six, the trademark is well.
Hi, Sister Ruth.
Hi, Princess. Queen Nye. I got to remember that. Say Princess. I'm so used to saying Princess. But I love you, sweetheart. I hope you're doing good today.
I love you guys, too. Thank you.
You're precious. And Emily's here, too.
Hi,
hello,
Emily.
Emily. How are you doing?
Hey, beautiful.
Hi, dear.
Hello.
How are you?
Trying to be good, but it's hard.
It's Sunday. You gotta start the week off right. You're good. You're good. You're beautiful.
Hey.
All right.
Earlier, I thought my mama was gonna whoop me good.
Uh oh.
Hey, how's your?
About ready to beat me to death, Six.
You better be good. You better be good, because your mom will give you an earthly whooping, and Mama Six will give you a heavenly whooping. So we all got good. So I don't know if we have.
No, we don't want that kind of whooping from Mama.
Yeah. So keep Sister Brookins in your prayers with her brother and her. Keep her in your prayers. Also, I don't know if we have Nicole with us. She prayed for the youth and the challenges of the youth and just adults and everyone in general. That's her prayer request. You know, my prayer request is for the world, mankind, my family, your friends. And
my family, you remember last Sunday we lost my cousin.
Absolutely, absolutely. Your cousin as well. Hold him up in prayer. I did get to speak to him. So just continue to hold your family up in prayer. Also, you know, tomorrow makes 27 years from my brother being gone. So keep your boy in prayer. That's me, Six Eyes, my family. And
yes.
Making it. You know, making it.
You're going to make it. You're strong and you have an amazing strength considering all that you've been through. So, you know, thank you for being a great example of a person that keeps on persevering even through tragic events.
Yeah, I could write a book. Yeah, I appreciate
it. Why don't you?
Yeah, I appreciate
you.
Also, hello to Cowboy.
Hello, cowboy.
Okay. So, hello. Yeah, so he's here. Hey, they said hello. The rest of the world.
Hello, world.
That's Cowboy, everybody. You got any prayer requests, anything, anybody you want to pray for?
Oh, the brothers and sisters that sponsor life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He has a testimony. He was blessed yesterday.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, come on.
The Lord had that plan for me. Is that me, Cam?
That is.
Yeah. The Lord had that plan for me. He just kept the paper.
Yeah. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So there's a...
He told me when it was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, they say not in your time, but my time. That's
right.
That's what he says. And his
that's
time.
Why, that's why he got a holy desk. He keep their paper on the desk until his time.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So that's a beautiful thing. I was telling them about the orchestra yesterday. They had a tribute to Mozart.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, man, I never seen opera live. And when I tell you that lady... Amazing. You had to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Flawless. So I was real happy about that. It was a good time. So we check on everybody's mental from 1 to 10. What would you say your mental is?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a 9.5.
Okay, 9.5.
I got rested up. It could be better, but I feel a lot better.
Yeah. And it could be a whole lot worse. You could not be here, so
yes,
you're here. So
yes,
it's already better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with these shootings that's been going on, you know, I want to see a time when a basketball can roll into a neighbor's yard and a neighbor roll it back. I want to see a time where a neighbor would challenge a neighbor in a game of basketball and not have the events of the neighbor shooting the child's father and then her getting hit with shrapnel. I want to see a time when you can back into a driveway and back out without getting shot and killed. People live. I want to see a time when a cheerleader competition can accidentally go to the wrong car and the passenger and say, hey, that's okay, and not go shoot the lady.
Amen.
These are things I want to see happen. I want to see a time when a person can go to the right address but the wrong street and not get shot. These are things that I pray for get better. Because we all have heard the cliche, the children are our future. Somebody said that to us, that we are the future. So we were somebody's future too. So in order for these kids to live, they have to be the future. They have to live. They can't be dead and not be the future. They have to live in order to be the future. You know? And that right there, that's my prayer for the world. I'm going to be enjoying some coffee here soon. We do have the Brasillo coffee, which is a different type of coffee. So let's have a little coffee. It's espresso. So we'll talk about that a little later in the show. But let us have an opening prayer from Wolfgang. Amen.
Amen. And also, speaking of things later in the show, Six, something for everybody to think about, a question, kind of a trivia question. Who was the most successful physician in the Bible? We'll find that out later in the show. Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day, Lord Jesus. We ask you right now for all these prayer requests that have been named one by one, name by name, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch each situation, Lord Jesus. You remember them all, Lord Jesus, even though I may not, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask you to touch each one. We ask you, the ones from Cowboy, Lord Jesus, that you would touch those, Lord Jesus. Touch them one by one, name by name. And then those for Princess, as we now call her, Queen Nye, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch those, Lord Jesus, those of her family and those, Lord Jesus, because they've lost someone in the family, a couple of folks, Lord Jesus, in fact. And we ask you to touch that family, Lord Jesus. Give them special comfort by your Holy Spirit as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, those situations that Nicole has asked for our youth around this world, Lord Jesus, they are the future. As Brother Six has mentioned, we need, Lord Jesus, that this be a better world, Lord Jesus, so that our youth can be our future and not have all these shootings, etc., Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, as he says, we are praying, Lord Jesus, for the world in general, Lord Jesus, because if we could just have a better world, it'd be a lot better place. Lord Jesus, we ask for the request that Sister Emily has asked for, Lord Jesus. You know each and every situation. Lord Jesus, also the situation that Lila requested for the family, Lord Jesus, that she requested for. I don't exactly remember the name of the family, but Lord Jesus, you do. Lila asked for a prayer request for that specific family, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch that family as well. And then for Ruth and the request that she has and the ministry requests that we have here, from the blind ministry, we ask you to touch each one of those. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them in the same way, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you right now, Lord Jesus, that you just comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can. And for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these many rotten, wicked situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be learning to love the omnipresent neighbor, who is you. Now, Lord Jesus, as we continue on in this program, we give the wheel completely to you, for it's in your name we pray and ask. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. And what
Amen.
About if we never forget names intentionally, but if ever we do, you listen to this broadcast later on, when we say the Six Eyes Radio Network crew, Six Eyes Radio Network crew, that covers everybody that's part of the Six Eyes Radio Network team. That's everybody. So nobody is slighted. We are all family. So when I say the Six Eyes Radio Network crew, that's everybody. Because we almost had a little altercation last week where somebody got a little bit upset because their name was omittedly left out later on in the broadcast. But if that person would go back and had listened, they would have heard their name in the beginning. Amen. All right, so we move on.
All right, let's get our morning scripture in. All right,
Amen.
Let's get the scripture in. Here we go.
Here's our reading.
This is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came there near Damascus, and suddenly there was shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why first persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonished, said, The Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which carried with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And this was Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right, you're enjoying the Six Eyes Radio Network, Six Eyes Gospel Show. do yourself a favor. JOIN, the Six Eyes Radio Network Group. Simply go to the search, type in Six Eyes, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, space NORK, and join the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. So we're going to get ready to dance for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And one more thing. What was the scripture reading from?
That was Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 10.
Okay, thank you.
And let us not forget to say rest in peace to Dr. Charles Stanley, who passed away. That was one of my mother's favorites, along with Robert Tilton. So we want to say our condolences to his family, Pastor Charles Stanley. I'm sure you know who he is, Wolfgang. And I know Bonnie will know
yep.
who he is. Once he went.
Yeah, my grandmother loved him too.
Yeah. He was great. I love listening to him.
Yeah, I did too. And he was out of Atlanta. I used to pass the church all the time, going back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something?
Yeah, let's talk
about
him for a moment. Let's talk about him for a moment before we get this music going for Jesus.
Okay. I would pass the church, and as great as he was, I've seen massive church venues, and they were always so fancy and all that kind of stuff. His church wasn't so much fancy. It was big, but I guess I would see churches, and it was like they was trying to make a great impression from the outside. I didn't see his church being all that fancy, but the messages that he preached was great, and it just made me think, you know, it wasn't so much about the outside. It was like he invested in what was needed to by God, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And Missionary Ken, I don't know if you and Sister Ruth had ever seen the church or whatever, but that was just the impression that I had gotten. And didn't have to be all fancy from the outside. You know, you spend all this money to make the outside look good. It was more or less about God's word and the message. You had a venue, but it wasn't like you was just trying to show off the money that was coming into the church.
My grandma, grandpa, and I watched their TV show.
Okay.
And we loved it. That's how I got to. And my grandmother always said there was a certain way of he used to move his mouth or something that was kind of different. And grandpa, he got so glued to it, I think he almost got too wrapped up in it. And he was like, he did his prophecy. He liked the same prophecy books I read. And so we have a blast. I miss them so much. I know they're in heaven now, but it's, every once in a while, I get a tear going because I miss them. They raised me.
I understand. I feel the same way about my grandparents. I was fortunate to get to know none of my grandparents and great-grandparents.
Yeah, we definitely, like I said, he was definitely a giant in ministry. So we definitely want to send our condolences out to him and his family. And I believe that is Dr. Charles Stanley on our board, the favor of God, I believe. So don't quote me. But I know we do have some Charles Stanley on there. Amen. So anybody else want to talk about Charles? Anybody else? Wolfgang? All right. Well, with that, we're going to dance for Jesus. Here's the new Kirk Franklin, Never Knew Love.
All right.
Oh,
You're enjoying the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen. Now, that was a nice collaboration right there. Kirk Franklin and Stephanie Mills. Nice.
Welcome, Pastor Bonnet.
He's here. Welcome, our anointed, our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. He's here, everyone. Welcome, sir.
His mic is open. I think, I don't know if he's on mute or not. Okay, well, go ahead and play the next selection, and then after that, we'll see if he's ready.
Sister Nicole, that was me. He just pulled hey. Up, so he'll probably be on in a few minutes.
Hey, no worries.
I'm going to mute my phone because little Tipper. Okay.
Tipper telling him to get in there and get on that line, get the preaching.
Amen.
Well, let everything that have breath praise you the Lord.
Amen.
Who is talking to in my song?
Search field settings. Search field.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Let's get it on. Go ahead and play.
Yeah.
Hi, Dolphin.
You did it for me. many sick people in the house. You did it holy, holy. Let me just drop this on you tonight. And nothing's missing. Took me a long time to keep it a beat. But I need somebody in this room to be convinced by faith tonight to lift up your hands and declare, oh, nothing's missing. God, you love me. Yes, you did, Lord. Oh, did it happen? When I felt like I was bleeding for the rest of my life, you healed me, God. And you did it. Things I thought I would never get past, Lord. You free me, God. You free me, God. And you did it. When you got Jesus, when you got Jesus, there's nothing missing. When you got Jesus in your life, come on, there's nothing missing.
Notification.
Nothing is broken.
Amen.
There he is.
I'm here.
There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, our very anointed man of God, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. But he does.
Amen.
How you doing, Pastor Bonnet?
Did you hear how I brought you out? Did you hear it? It takes years to perfect that. Years.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that warm greeting. It is a privilege and a honor to be once again in the midst and presence of so many great people like yourself. Yes, you, and even you. It is a blessing to be on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. It is a wonderful day today, and I am so thankful that the Lord allowed my name to make the woke list early. Amen. I've preached twice already this morning, and I'm ready to minister a third time here today. I won't give you the same message I gave them. I will give you the third part of the lesson. Amen. As we have been dealing with the anointing all month long. And so I am thankful that God gave me this particular lesson as I began to study it and write it down to share. Today, if you go back and look on our Facebook page, you will hear me minister last week's message, but with a different title because God allowed me to bring it out differently. And that was an anointing to go through. Amen. An anointing to carry you through. And anointed through crises, anointed in and through crises, anointed in and through crises, amen, dealing with God's anointing, how it gives you the power to overcome. I want to jump right into the lesson with just a recap. Things that we're talking about that, and as we're walking through the Bible. Our primary verse that we are building on, that we have built on, is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. And it reads as follows from the King James Version. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Amen. A man's gift maketh room for him. It said make room. Amen. That means even if there's no room, it makes room. Even if you're not given room, it makes room. It don't take room, it makes room. So even if it's not created for you yet, God will make it for you. Why? When you're operating in the gift that God called you to operate in, it will make room for you. And in making room for you, it brings you before great men. What is a great man? A great man is someone who has the ability to change the world, to change his culture, to change his community, to change his family. A great man is someone that not only trying to change things, but have changed things. That means you can be a sinner and still be a great man, amen, that make changes that's going to be effective. Now, you may be wicked. You may be righteous. But what made you great is the ability to change others. Amen. And so God says that our gift as the believer, as the born-again believer, as a servant of the Most High, called out one, God said our gifts will make room for us. And so you got to have that positive confession. My gift maketh room. I love that maketh part. I know it's old English and we don't speak like that anymore, but let me help you with the term maketh. That maketh is a continuation. In other words, it's making. Amen. Amen. My gift is making room for me. That means if today there's no room for me, just all I need to do is operate the gift that God gave me, and room will be made available for me. You ever went somewhere and the house was crowded already, amen, but they didn't want you to leave, and what they did, say, listen, hold up, we're gonna get some sheets here and a pillow here, and we're gonna make room for you on the couch, amen. And your gift will make room for you. Amen, somebody. So somebody needs to understand that the gift that God gave you, I don't care what kind of position you're in, I don't care how life had brought you a hard blow, your gift that God gave you will produce a room for you. And that room brings you before those that can make a difference. Amen. Why? So that you can be the difference. Amen. Amen. They don't need you to do what everybody else is doing. They need you to be what God has called you to do. And so we start off with part one. Part one dealt with Genesis 41 as we looked at the life of Joseph and how Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers, thrown into slavery, sold into slavery by his very own family members. He was betrayed. Now, that's some real hardship right there. It was one thing to be sold into slavery, to be kidnapped, but it's a whole other thing when your family, those that are supposed to love you, those that are supposed to have your back, they betray you. Because, see, that's the only true betrayal. You got to be a friend. You got to be close. You got to be family. You got to be someone dear to me to betray me, because my enemy can't betray me. They just doing what they do. Amen. So here it is, betrayed by family, sold into slavery, him who was born free, now living a life of servitude. Not because he didn't know how to manage his affairs, not because he went off and tied himself to someone else, but because of the actions of others, but because he was faithful to God, committed to God, the gift that God gave him, he shared it with his brothers, he shared it with his mother, he shared it with his father, he shared it with those of his household. I have a dream, and in this dream, such and such and such and such happened. And he got excited because he had another dream, and he ran and told that. And because he told it, the enemy sought to stop it. But how many of you know you can't stop anything that God starts? Amen. It's just like an avalanche. You can't stop an avalanche once it starts. It ain't going to stop till it hit bottom. Glory to God. If the heavens open up and drop anything, it ain't going to stop. I know that's broken English. It will not stop until it lands over the area in which it was dropped in. So here it is. Joseph goes into slavery, but he's anointed to work. And he worked, and his work produced favor. His work produced a positive outcome for those whom he was working for. And in the midst of that, he developed someone that wanted something that he could not give. And being faithful, he did not give. And it caused for him to be mistreated, mishandled once again. But he remained faithful unto God, even after being done wrong. And you find him interpreting someone's dream. And he said, listen, when you are restored, when you get into your place of authority, remember me. Talk to the king for me, that he may bring me out of this place, because I'm unjust here. In other words, if what I've done for you have helped you and benefited you, remember me. And he was forgotten. But God sent forth a dream to a king, a change maker, someone who's able to make a difference in this world, someone who was already making a difference in the world. But he got a dream that all the people that were so smart, so that around him, could not help him at all. No matter what he told them about it, they could not help him at all. Finally, the one who was helped by Joseph said, I'm sorry, my bad, I forgot. I'm supposed to have helped somebody. Yeah, there's some people that supposed to have helped us, and they forgot about us. That's all right. That's all right. Because God knows how to create another circumstance to pull you up out of your rut, to pull you up out of your lower bar. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And
amen. Come on.
Help up out of that bad situation. Amen. And when the king said to him, he said to the king, King, it's not in me, but it's in God. And God will give you the answer of peace for your dream. Amen. And so God did that, and he elevated. There was not a room for Joseph there amongst the Egyptians. But God created a position that wasn't made before. There was no prime minister before. There was no one to share the seat of power with the king before. But God created for him space. Stop trying to fight for space and let God make you a space. Glory to God. Because if God make you a space, it's already fitted for you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
When you go and buy a suit off the rack, depending on your shape and size, you it may not fit you just right. It may be too long or may be too wide for you. But when the tailor get hold of that material, he began to make sure that around the waist it fits you right. Of your legs, that it fits you right. The length of your reach, it fits right. Something about having a tailor-made suit, that when you put it on, and you put it on, it feels so good. Why? Because it was made for you. When you walk into what God has made for you, it feels better. Why? Because you ain't trying to fill nothing out, because it's already made for you. Your gift will make room for you. We fast forward some hundreds of years later, and we see this man named Daniel in chapter 2 as we picked up in part 2 of this teaching. Amen. Your anointing will make room for you. Your anointing will open doors for you. Your anointing will bring you through. Your anointing will bring you out. Anointed, amen, the anointing of God gives you the ability to finish the work assigned to your life. Joseph was anointed for that. Now here it is, later on, we find a king named Nebuchadnezzar who takes over and come in and conquer the children of Israel, take over Jehoshaphat's kingdom after 3 years of being in power. He comes in, and while he's coming in, he's gathering up those that have ability, those that look well, that are well kept. Amen. Don't get mad at me because I look good now in my 50s. Amen. Don't get mad at me because my belly don't stick out way past you know. Amen. Don't get mad because I'm getting more fit and trim. Amen. Because I understand that when somebody's looking for somebody that's able to do what they're trying to do. Amen. And so this king, he needed some people that were going to help him make his kingdom stronger. Amen. Amen. You want a job, but you don't want to help build a business. Amen. Amen. You standing at the line, and you won't greet the people as they come in. You don't tell the people to have a good day. You don't ask the people to come back again. You know, you want benefits, but you don't want to put in no work. Lord, help us today. What's wrong with the working class today? You don't want to smile. You act like somebody made you come. Come on. Come on with it. Your gift. There was a woman that served somebody well. Amen. Let me go back to my testimony because I'm a witness. I'm a witness. My first real full-time job, man. My first job was a summer job, but they liked the way I worked. Michael Jackson was in town, and he liked the program that the city was doing, and he gave the city $1 million so that we can continue the summer program. So they asked me and said, "Hey, we have enough money to put you to work for 12 more weeks. Are you interested?" And I said, "Absolutely yes." Send me. And they sent me to a company called Pizza Hut. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And
I excelled there at Pizza Hut. Amen. To when my 12 weeks was over, they said, "Will you please stay along with us?" Amen. I was in high school. Amen. 10th grade. Amen. "Hey, will you stay with us?" I said, "Sure. I sure will." And learned the business. And because of turnovers, amen, I was to the point where I was even teaching the people that were coming in to be a waitress, cashier. I was teaching them how to do the business. And I was telling somebody, okay, there's rules to a cashier. And I would give the steps of being a good, successful cashier. And I was demonstrating it one particular night. And I did it so well in demonstrating to them what they needed to do. The customer left a $100 tip. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, this was back in the 80s, Doc. This was in the 80s. For a $100 tip, I wasn't making $100 a week. Lord, here it is. He left a $100 tip. I went to run and give it back to him, thinking he probably meant to leave 10 and just made a mistake. I went to run and said, "Hey," he said, "this is for you." He left it on the table because they was impressed with the way you serve. I say, "My, look at him. When you do a job well, it'll open up doors that you ain't even see."
Oh, yeah.
So I testify to you, when you're serving, it'll pay you eventually even when you didn't even ask for it, it'll do right for you. It'll make room for you.
Amen.
So, tell me what God came to tell me what you are willing to do, and then do it. Amen. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Amen.
Amen.
Walk, preacher, walk on. And so, nevertheless, we see here in part two, we talked about Daniel. We talk about Daniel and his three friends. Y'all remember those three, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Amen. Amen. These three friends of him, while they were being taken in captivity, these young men, four young men, teenagers, they were told that they were going to be put in the service of the king, and they were to eat a certain diet that the king had prepared. The king said, if it's good for me, it's good for them. But the diet that they was used to was different from what the king was used to. And they weren't willing to compromise themselves to that dietary need. And they asked for permission to eat something different. Now, here's what favor did for them. Because they knew how to act, they didn't demand, they knew their position. God had already gave them favor with who was over them. Sometimes you have to work on Sunday all the time because you didn't ask Sunday off. Sometimes you can't go to Bible study during the week because you always schedule on the night that Bible study is, and maybe because you just didn't ask to be out. Well, they said that everybody, did you ask the question? Did you ask? Sometimes we have to really understand that we have not because we ask not. Amen. These young men asked. Daniel said, listen, since I see that I got favor with him, let me ask him. And he asked, and the man replied to him, listen, the king have given instructions for you to have this, and so that you will be healthy like everyone else. He said, if I allow you to do that and you don't look as good as everyone else, then my life will be in danger. I will lose my life. So what you asked me, I personally don't have a problem, but I want to live. And so he said, prove us. The problem with many people today is we don't take time to prove anything. Amen. We don't give it enough time. You know, they say patience is a virtue. Glory to God. And the problem sometimes is we keep moving too quick. Amen. We don't stay long enough. Amen. We are so impatient that we don't allow stuff to develop. Sometimes we hear a word. I mean, can you think about it for a moment? If you think about the life of King David was called out the field. He was overlooked. He was the last of his brothers. He was overlooked, but yet he was called. And when he was called out, being called in, when he came in, glory to God, and he was anointed, you know what King David did? He didn't boast in front of his brothers, I'm going to be the next king. Hey, he didn't pop his collar. No, he didn't do the two steps around them saying, you thought it was you, but it's me. How you like me now? He didn't do all of that. You know what he did? He went back into the field and began to keep on taking care of his father's sheep. Wow. He went back to doing what he was doing already when he was anointed. See, when God anoints you, it's not for you to boast about you this or that, but it's for you to wait on God to do what he said he's going to do. And King David, his anointing was to be king. But before he was anointed to be king, he was anointed to take care of sheep. He was anointed to not let man one die. He was anointed to keep all of them alive. And so when the bear and the lion came to take it, oh my, glory to God, God gave him strength to have victory. In fact, when Goliath came to their town, came to their providence, and came to take over them as a people. He was taking care of the sheep while all of that was going on. His daddy, again, called him out the field and say, listen, I need you to go and deliver this to your brother and receive from them what they're sending home, and the money that they're sending home. Go take care of that. He was still obeying daddy. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a big head. He didn't say, Dad, you know, I'm king now, Dad. You can't be sending me nowhere. Nah. He understood. My gift maketh room. So back to Daniel and his three friends. We see that these three friends in Daniel chapter 1 asked for a space of time to prove that what they've been doing all along, what they was taught to do, works. See, if somebody told you tithing works and you grew up with that, don't you let nobody tell you nothing different. I don't care how they word it, how they fix their mouth to justify whatever they're saying. If it already proven to work for you based on the word of God, you keep on doing it. Why? Because that's what's going to open up the next door. That's what's going to position you to the next position. Don't let people tell myself, why are you taking your money down to that church? This church been good. I mean, what you talking about? Why I'm taking you take your money to Burger King. And you take your money to McDonald's. As a matter of fact, McDonald's, I think you're about 20 pounds bigger, ain't you? Glory to God. you take your money to them, but if you get a headache, none of them going to pray for you. Lord help today. Keep on, preacher. And so we see here that Daniel and his three friends, they asked for 10 days to prove themselves. And in 10 days, they was examined, and in their examination, they was seen to look better. Their skin looked better. They looked stronger. And in fact, so the eunuch was able to grant them their request of their dietary needs. And after the space of 3 years, they were brought together before the king, them and the other young men. Whomever they were, from wherever they came from, all was brought before the king. And King Nebuchadnezzar, they had appointed Daniel one name in each one. He looked at all four of these young men, saw that they were positionally better. He saw that they looked better. So Melzar took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they would drink, and gave them pulse. He did this for these four children. And because he did this, as these four children, God gave them knowledge, skill, and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So he is anointed by God because he was committed to not devouring himself, because that's the way he was brought up. So, parents, wherever you are, wherever you may be, it is not your job to let your children tell you what they are. It's your job to tell them. Now, I'm not saying that they can't have their own personal ambitions in life, but at no time should your daughter say, I'm not going to be your daughter, no, I'm going to be your son. That's a lie from hell. And since nothing should escape hell, send that lie back to the pit. Your son can't say to you, well, I think I'm a girl. No, son, you were born with a penis. You are a male, and you're going to grow to be a man. Oh, yeah. We have to tell the truth and raise them properly. And it's a shame how our society will tell you to make sure that your children get proper rest, but then you tell the children they can say what they want to be. It's a double standard. In fact, it's not a standard at all. It is heresy at the highest level. My children can't tell me they ain't doing no chores. They're not. Can't tell me, well, I don't think I, no, not in here. Preach on, preacher. So we see Daniel and these three friends. We see these four young men, and the king sees them, and he appoints them over others because he sees that they are 10 times smarter, stronger, and wiser. So he promotes Daniel, and because Daniel is a good friend, he said, King, these are my three friends. And the king gives his friend a position. Now he promotes Daniel to be over the other astrologers, musicians, and we're not talking about musicians and music, we're talking about those and magic. He puts Daniel over them, so you know they are upset because he don't do what they do. He don't worship the stars. He don't deal in horoscope. He's not playing with tarot cards or any of those things. But yet, his gift of being able to interpret dreams, standing of dreams and visions, his gift have created a room for him. And here how it proved itself. We turn to chapter 2 in Daniel, and we see that the king has a dream. Again, another dreamer. God gives people that have greatness to do. Give them visions and dreams. Yeah. How you think Ford Motor Company came to exist? Somebody had a vision. Somebody had a dream. How do you think the Wright brothers created first airplane? Somebody had a vision. Somebody had a dream. How do you think Thomas Edison invented the light bulb? Somebody had a dream. Somebody had a vision. Glory to God. Who could say whether or not you may be the next big thing or not? Or you're connected to helping the next person to discover their vision. Amen. So here it is. King Nebuchadnezzar, he done took it over. He got his people in place. He knows who do what and so on. He's been dealing with his counselors, his musicians, his soothsayers, his astrologers, all of that. He's been dealing with them. But one night he gets a dream, and he is wakened from that dream, and it wakes him in such a way that it troubles his spirit. But for whatever reason, at that moment, he's not able to recall it. Now, I'm not sure when or if he recalled it later on at some point. All I do know is the urgency that he had, he moved with it, and he called all his leading staff to come and give him an answer. But he knew who he was working with. He knew because sometime in the past, somebody gave him some messed up information. Sometime in the past, somebody made up something to share with him. Mm-hmm. Sometime in the past, somebody thought they were prophesying and it came out to be a prophet lying. He knew, I can't tell them what I dream. I need them to say what I dream. That way I know their interpretation will be true and genuine. But they begin to complain. Can't nobody do that. The only person that knows what's inside your head is God. So even the world knows. Only God knows. And even though they said God, they did identify and they don't dwell with men. They don't live here. So he said, you know what? All right, fine. I'm going to kill all y'all. I'm going to cut y'all into pieces. And we're going to turn your houses into a dunghill. They're going to chop up your house to a pile, make it look like a pile of renewal. And he sent forth his soldiers to bring them so that they can be killed and their houses destroyed. Well, just so happened, the man that was sent to go get Daniel and his friends, he said, I won't kill all the wise men. Since none of them want to be wise, they don't want to help. They can't help. Look, then I ain't got no space for them. Know what? Space. Sound like room. Got no space for them. Daniel said, hold up, wait a minute. King, what's the issue? Give us one day, and I'll come back and tell you what the Lord said. Know that he did the same thing that Joseph did. He said, it ain't in me. Only God can tell you what your dream. But he revealed to us last night your dream and the interpretation. And here's what you dream. And here's the interpretation. So now he gets another promotion. He's promoted up and to a position what we would call a president. And the three boys with him, they become like mayors or governors. They move up too. Don't leave behind those that really walk with you. Don't leave behind those that really prayed with you, because it was his three friends that prayed with him that night that God will reveal, because they had a history of praying together, because they had a relationship with God. They knew with confidence that God would be there to answer them. And so they was able to interpret the dream. But the story goes on. It don't stop there. King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And here we are going into part three. We're like, wow, man, this king got a lot of dreams. That's all right. This king had some big obligation. But here's the importance of you and I to abide in the calling or the anointing that God has given us to go through. Because remember, they're not free. They're still up under a certain level of captivity. Although they have freedom, although they have a job, a prestige, their people are still suffering. And so just because you got it going on, just because your bills are paid, don't mean you are to look down on those that are still struggling to pay their bills. Because as a nation, if none of us, if all of us not free, then truly we as a people are not free. So don't just stop with you being free. What if Harriet Tubman never went back to set others free? So being free have an obligation. So we see that King Nebuchadnezzar has one more dream. Now, in the earlier recognition, King Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized that these four boys was serving a God that was unique, and their God was unique. Then when King Nebuchadnezzar gets this interpretation, he says to them that there's no other God like your God who can tell the secret things. And so he's impressed with the relationship of God in Daniel, three boys. So he's impressed with, and that's what the world will be today. They may be impressed with your relationship with God, but can you really demonstrate loving God before them, living with God before them? See, the anointing to keep you, the anointing to carry you, applies when people see you going through hard times. See, Daniel was about to be killed along with his three friends, but they began to pray. In praying, it preserved their lives. If things are too hard for you right now, you're at your wit's end, then maybe you need to ask yourself, am I praying? Am I talking to God? And if I be praying, if I be talking to God, then why am I still fearful when perfect love casts out fear? Why am I still doubtful when I know that if God be for me, who can be against me? The old song that the church used to say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? So we have to know God that was on our side to keep us from being in our worst moments of disparity. It was God that was on our side that kept us from losing our minds. And even if you lost your mind, it was God that was on your side that allowed you to regain it. How can you say that? Because he redeemed us. Because Christ redeemed us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, old troubles, old habits, old hang-ups are passed away. Behold, pay attention, behold, look at this. Behold, all things, not some things, not most things, all things become new. But I looked at my hand, they still look the same. Look again. Look again, because repentance is about rethinking. Repentance is about the process of how you see what you were seeing before. See, once before you probably saw yourself as a failure. Once before you probably saw yourself as a letdown. Once before you maybe have saw yourself as the ugly duckling. But I dare you to see yourself as a swan. I dare you to see yourself as a success. I dare you to see yourself as making it over what? The finish line. Glory to God. That means you are able to accomplish what you were sent to do. But you got to have faith to walk into those shoes. And so we see that the king has another dream. He had another dream. And amazingly, he called all of his musicians and astrologers and all of them that's supposed to know stuff. And this time he shares the dream with, because I ain't going to do y'all like I did last time because y'all know better. And he shares it with them. But because they know better, they don't lie. They tell him, we can't help you, sir. We don't know why you dreamed about a tree in the middle of the world. We don't know why the tree was so big that it touched the heaven. We don't know what that means at all. I mean, what color was the tree? All right, look, can you give us some more details? They didn't know. And see, when God makes room for you, he fixes a situation that you have the ability already in you to resolve. So the Bible goes on and it reads, it tells us, so they call for Daniel to come. And let's see, pick up here. And Antioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said, Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known? Oh, that's the first one. Excuse me. He did it so much it seemed like a repeat. Glory to God. And he says to him, he said, thou, O king, sawest, behold, a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and whose form was of a terrible. Still before. Look at chapter 3. Y'all excuse me. My device want to act up. Amen. And King Nebuchadnezzar made this image of gold. The King James says 3 score cubits high. That's 90 feet tall. So he got ambition with this. And so he made it 90 feet high and over 6 feet or 9 feet wide. So he made a very big image. So this ain't like you walking downtown and seeing a little thing about 15 feet up in the air. He made a serious building of a monument of a person of gold. And he boasted on that. When he did that, God was upset with him. When he did that. And so after he recognized the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel, but he recognized God through those three boys outside of Daniel. When he recognized that and acknowledged God, God held him now accountable for what he knew. It was him who said, your God is God. So we see a God had reached this kingdom through the lives of other people. So when God make room for you, your room that's been made for you isn't for you to glope and to be all Mr. This and Ma'am That. Nothing wrong with people respecting you and honoring you, but make sure that they honor the God in you and respect the God in you. Make sure they understand that it was God through you. This next dream lets him know that. And when Daniel is brought before him, Daniel says to him, King, I wish this dream was to your enemies, but it's about you. God is saying he's made you great. He made your name reach the heaven, but the watcher has watched you. See, that's why the Bible says, fret not because of evildoers, for they soon shall be cut down. And so we don't have to worry about men that are doing, or women, that are doing wrong in our society. It's our job to keep praying and believing God and pray the way God wants us to pray and be the examples that God wants us to be. Darius tells him, the king, God going to cut you down and you're going to lose your mind for 7 years. For 7 years, you're going to be given a spirit of a beast. And they're going to feed you grass, and you're going to eat it. For 7 years, you're not going to be able to speak to anybody human. They're not going to know what to do with you. And the dream, he just don't tell him straightforward. He gets real quiet because he understands what it is. And the king had to release him to tell it. He said, man, don't be afraid to tell me the interpretation of the dream. Just go ahead and say it. And so he shares it with him, and he gives him this instruction. King, do good. Stop sinning. Look after the poor, and perhaps God may let this judgment pass. That's what he said to him in essence. And so some people think delayed judgment means no judgment, but God had already judged him. 12 months go by. And in 12 months, the king forget that God told him, I'm the one that made you. And if you don't acknowledge me for yourself, I'm going to cut you down. And that's what took place. He began to boast in the palace. Look what I done. Look what my hands have accomplished. And in the midst of that, he lost his mind. Could it be? Hear me well. Consider what I say and let God give understanding. Could it be the truth of God that we have rejected is the reason why we can't hold on to our senses? I'm going to say it again. Could it be the truth of God's word that we have rejected? If you didn't accept it, you rejected it. There's only two options. So don't get slapped. If you did not accept it, if God said it, and you didn't just say amen to it, then could that be the reason why the trouble that you have or the trouble that you're going through, the situation in your mind frame that you're dealing with, is because you didn't want to accept God's truth? And he had already given you warning and time to change. King Nebuchadnezzar had warning and time to change. And when he thought within himself, surely that judgment is gone, it was not. The Bible said, as the words was coming out of his mouth, this began to happen to him. And his son took over. His son was not a better king. You'd have thought that his son would have learned something, but he didn't. And it was 7 years that passed by. And it was at the end of those 7 years that God gave him a clear moment to think about all that he's done. And he accepted God. And his conscience and his mind, his senses came back to him. after 7 years. After 7 years, God gave him back his senses. The peace of God came back to him. And again, he acknowledged the Most High God. That same anointing that allowed Daniel to counsel two kings now, King Nebuchadnezzar, his son, he goes on to a third king because his son didn't listen. His son thought he was all of that because he was in greatness. And while his son was boasting, the hand of God came writing on the wall. That'll blow your mind, Brother Charles. You sitting at a banquet, and all of a sudden, you see the fingers of a hand. Not the whole hand, just the fingers of a hand holding a writing device. And writing on the wall and nobody again could interpret room for you and bring you before great men. Daniel wasn't at the party, but now all of a sudden they're looking for him. They're looking for him. Why? Because the king is so scared that his knees are knocking. It gave him fear. We've had them things called knockers back in the day, where like with two big old hard balls, like marbles type balls with a string on it. And you used to have to shake them together and make them hit one another and go up and down. This king's knees was just knocking like two knockers. All because he done sat there and boast about how great he is, overlooking the power of God after God had already demonstrated himself to be all-powerful. And so Daniel comes again, and he gives the interpretation of it. He does what his gift is designed for. And that night, the king died. Wow. That's king number three. Number two. He died. He died because unbelief, his boastfulness. So now, he still has his appointment. The king that came in and killed him was Darius. So obviously, the talk came about of who Daniel is. King Darius never addressed Daniel by his pagan name. He called him Daniel. See, people will try to remember you by the names of failure in your life. But you have a name of promise. You have a name of purpose. And that's the name you need to hold on to. King Darius then had conversation with Daniel. So he know Daniel to be good. But like all kings, he allowed himself to be buffeted in his heart. He allowed his leaders to get him to do something out of foolishness. And so he made a decree that no one can pray to any other god or make a request for 30 days. Well, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The anointing that Daniel had was to pray to God. What do you do when your anointing gets you in trouble? Because now here's a decree that nobody can bow down and pray. And Daniel didn't do like what most of us would do. Well, I just pray at home in secret. God know my heart. The Bible says that Daniel went home and opened his window. See, so people that think, well, we ain't got to be seen to be praying. Mm-mm. They already been seeing whether or not you pray. They watch when you get your food, do you bless them, or do you just start eating? They've been watching you a long time. They've been watching you. And Daniel's routine was he prayed 3 times a day. They was used to receiving bribes and different things and lining their pockets, but Daniel kept order. Daniel did what the job called for him to do. Daniel didn't take unfair favors. Daniel didn't line his pockets with the king's taxes. He didn't do no underhanded, dirty stuff. But because they was doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, and he wasn't a part of their club, they say, man, the only way we can bring something against him is we find it in his God, in his relationship with God. So when you have the inward anointing, see, Daniel was anointed outwardly to speak to kings. But his inward anointing was to speak to God the king and kept him before God the king, who's the king of kings. Yes, his anointing, his gift got him in trouble. But that didn't stop him from using his gift. When King Darius realized after they brought it to his attention, hey, King, didn't you sign into law, a law that could not be changed by the laws of the Medes and the Persians, that no one can pray, make any ovations to any other god or man for 30 days other than you? He said, sure, I made that decree. Sure, I did. He said, well, that fellow Daniel, he over at the house praying right now. What? He had broken the law. I don't care what laws they make in this country. I think one of the reasons why fires keep breaking out in California, because they done tried to outlaw the Bible there on different occasions, try to stop the sale of Bibles there. I think the watcher been watching and been judging. That's what I think. So here it is. He has to come before the king. The king tried to say, well, that's Daniel. You know, he has not understand. The law says, and it's not changeable. And here's why it's so important for you and I to be unchangeable when it comes to our faith. This is why it's important for us to maintain a faithful relationship with God Almighty. King, who was misled. Here's a king that knew Daniel served a true and living God. but is also a king who haven't found God for himself yet. But he believes. He believes so much that when he had to carry out the sentencing, putting Daniel in the lion's den, they dug a hole where they kept lions, and they would feed those lions, and those lions were only brought out for sport so that they can have those sporting events where lions was tearing people apart. These lions, but how many of us know that everything under nature obey God except man? We saw fire, which is part of nature, obey God and touch not his anointed. And now we see king of wildlife, king of beasts, the lion, ferocious, powerful, paw big enough to scratch your whole chest, not just part of it. Average man, probably 100 and some odd pounds, under 200 pounds. This lion, 800 pounds heavier, this beast. King Darius now for the first time began to pray, but for somebody else. King Darius, for the first time, he fasted in hope that if Daniel God was listening, that he would have mercy and spare and deliver Daniel God. That Daniel God would deliver him because he couldn't save him and he was the king. Even though he was the king, all-powerful, because he signed something into law that could not be reversed. So your position don't make you all powerful. But I know a God that is. The Bible says that the next morning that King Darius rose up early and he ran to the tomb. They sealed the tomb. He ran to the tomb, and he hollered out, "Daniel, have your God kept you?" That's what the world is asking believers today. Have God kept us? Have God kept us? Have God kept you from fornicating? Have God kept you from lying? Have God kept you from tale-bearing? Have God kept you in all that you need to do and be? What's your testimony? The Bible records that Daniel hollered, "O king, live forever," which was a salutation to a king that his reign would continue until he's ready to stop. "O king, live forever. My God has kept me." He kept the lions at bay. And so those that don't know the story, the very men that reported Daniel for violating the law because God kept him through his sentencing, God kept him from his wrongful imprisonment. God protected him in the midst of his lockdown. And because God did that, the king says, now I want to get all of them, go get their wives and their children, and we're going to throw them in. And the Bible says that the animals had their way. The lions had their way with them. Be careful who you put your mouth on, whom you try to destroy. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. God is able to keep us in any circumstance that unfolds for us. But we must remain with him. Must say remain, because the Apostle Paul, when going to see Caesar, he told them it's not safe for us to launch out, but they did it anyway. And the storm arose so great till they wanted to escape on lifeboats. They wanted to kill the prisoners, and he had to tell them, my God visited me, and he told me no life will be lost, but he had to stay in the ship. I want to deliver this message to you, the believer, today. God wants to bless you, but you got to stay in him. God wants to get you to your destination, but you got to stay in him. Don't jump ship. Don't change who you're loving and serving. Stay in Christ. Christ even said, if I abide in you, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you can ask. But you got to abide in. Abide in God, because in God is the anointing to overcome all things. In God is the anointing to do all things. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that are listening to this message at this time. I pray for their understanding. I pray for their clarity of thought. If any haven't repented of their sins, God, I pray that you touch their heart, that they will surrender all to you, and that they whom ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And that is to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart the Lord Jesus, that God has raised them from the dead. You shall be saved. For everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's calling, is not just asking. That's a seeking. That's an acceptance. Because he said, not everyone that hath said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. So just not calling his name on surface. Don't just call his name and don't let him in. If I called you to my house and closed the door and locked it, I have insulted you. Don't insult God by calling him to you, but don't let him in. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart, knocking, conditional. Any man hear my voice and open up, he says, I will come in and dine. It says, consult with him. I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. It's just that simple. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. I thank you for paying the price for sin. Receive your blood for the atonement of all of my sin. Thank you for redeeming me. Now, release the Holy Spirit to abide within me, that I may walk right, that I may talk right, that I may live right, that I may love right. And as you do it, I will share my testimony with those that need it to make a difference in their life. Thank you, Father. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, that's my sermon for today. Thank you for listening to the recap, and thank you for listening to part three of Anointed. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Bonnet, I'm just going to give my takeaways kind of right quick here. Good message. First off, you were talking about early in the program there about when you had your first job there, talking about Pizza Hut and that kind of thing, and about your training and that kind of thing. Well, kind of reminded me of when I started my – when I was early in my business down there in Waycross, Georgia, when I was working on mowers and had my mower business down there. And I was with a friend of mine, Eric Martin. We were walking down the street and out front of his neighbors named Burl Ives. And Burl was out there. He had just started up his tractor, and I could tell just by the way it sounded exactly what was wrong with that tractor. The needle valve on the carburetor wasn't adjusted just right. And I looked over at Eric as we're walking down the road because we were going to go visit Burl, and I told Eric, I said, I know exactly what's wrong with that tractor, why it sounds like that. And Eric says, well, what is it? I said, a needle valve on the carburetor. I said, all he's got to do is adjust that thing. Well, he took me up to see Burl, and he says, hey, you know your tractor's already kind of rough there? He says, you know this young man here, he works on lawnmowers and tractors and stuff like that. He says, he can tell you what's wrong with it right now, why it's running rough, why it's been running rough. And this Burl looks at me because Eric had already told him about that. I was, you know, back then I was just legally blind. And, you know, being legally blind, I had some vision but not perfect vision. And this guy, and he even testified to this later. He says, he looked at me and he says, okay, well, what is it? And I told him, and I says, you could even do the fix yourself. And I told him just how to go to do it. So we later left. Burl didn't do anything with it while we were there. But according to Burl's testimony, and I've actually got this on a recording with the guy actually talking about it, because when I went back to Georgia to visit, I got Burl recorded on DVD, and you can actually see his face and the whole recording. And he says, when I went up there and told him that, he goes, yeah, like, what does the legally blind guy know? But he said later he went back there in that garage, in his barn. He went to adjusting that needle valve like I told him to do, and he said that thing got to purring like a kitten. Well, after that, he became one of my best customers because he said that guy knew his stuff. He knew that I knew my stuff. And the second takeaway I got was you were talking about Daniel and Lion's Den. Well, what it was is those lions, they refused their midnight snack, but they didn't refuse their morning buffet.
Buffet, absolutely. You know I was going to say that, but I was saving it for somebody. I didn't know it was you or six going to get it in. That was good. That's right.
And also, I mentioned this question at the beginning of the show. Later, after the Bloodhound of Scripture, I'm going to ask this question and see who's got the answer. Okay, the question is, in the Bible, who was the greatest physician? Okay, so just think on that, Pastor Bonnet, see if you might have the answer to that, or anybody does. So we'll do that right after the Bloodhound of Scripture. So, All right. Anyone else we got for takeaways?
Amen. Have a good, Kev.
All right. Well, Queen I here. I enjoyed the message, and I also love the fact when you talk about the gifts, you know, that God made room for our gifts and how, you know, your gift will take care of you. And I've always loved that scripture because I felt like if you're using your gifts, your God-given talents, then you're going to be happy in whatever you're doing because that's something that you're good at. I'm sorry, my phone does that every now and then. But even then, so talking about your purpose, name your purpose, and your vision and your dreams. All of that really just spoke to me just because I truly believe that that's what we're supposed to be doing. So that was my takeaway basically is it lines up with what I've been given or been shown by God. Complete.
Amen. Good. Be encouraged. Be encouraged.
Amen.
I'm taking away from the message. Addition. All right.
Well, what'd you say? You got away from the phone a little bit.
Oh, I am away from the phone. I said, anyone else? I said that was good. Anyone else have a takeaway or an addition? Amen. something that God's giving you for the word. We want to encourage you to have some takeaways. Some talk back, amen. This is the opportunity where, you know, you don't necessarily get this on Sunday morning at the church. The preacher come out and preach, wave at y'all, and go on back to his office. So, you know, I'm from the old school. Preachers used to come. After he preached, he went to the doors of the church. As people going out, shook their hand and greeted them, you know. Or he stood to the front and people came down and greeted him at the altar as he shook their hand and they told him whether they enjoyed the message or what they enjoyed out of it. So we're just doing what we used to do back in the day. This is what made the culture successful because we got into the word and we let the word get in us. Amen. And that's why I do these takeaways. You know, I can't see your faces, so I don't know if you got it. But if you tell me you got it, and you tell me what you got, then I know. Amen? And it's not putting a bat on the spot. What you get is what you get. I'm not asking no one to recite the whole sermon. I'm not asking you to go and quote all the scriptures. In fact, the only scripture really today is the very first one, Proverbs 18 and 16. Chapter 18, mm-hmm. verse 6, a man's gift will make room for him. A man's gift maketh room. A man's gift maketh room for him and carry him before great men. And it was part three of the anointing to carry you through. Amen. Anointing to carry. God is carrying us somewhere. He's carrying us to someone. He's carrying us through. He's carrying us through things. And so he gives us an anointing to make it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got something there, Lady Bonnet? Do you got a takeaway? I think I heard your voice.
Amen. Yes, as she was saying, make room for you. The anointing that God has given us, and he gives us all different kinds of gifts and talents. And, you know, It's even with me to sit back on your gifts and talents, and it's just going to be in you because that's what God put in you. So it will make room for you. And then and it's not you doing it, it's the Spirit of God doing it through you. So I just thank God for the anointing, and the gift will make room for you. And thank you for the messages all day long. So thank God for putting the word in you, today to teach your people that we'll be able to go for and do the things that God has given you to give to us, that we have a great revelation. So help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. For we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So the word that God has given to you, that we should go forth and let our gift, let God give us, make room for us. God bless. And love you all.
Amen. Thank you, Lady. God bless you. That's good. Anyone else? I don't see the board because I'm not in the system, so I don't know if we have anyone else that like to give something. If not, I think we're ready for the bloodhound of Scripture. And Ms. Mary Ken, that was an easy answer to the question you asked earlier. I'm going to let others make an attempt to answer that. But,
is it Luke?
It's very easy.
We'll wait. We're going to do that after the bloodhound. But okay, here we go with our bloodhound first. Okay.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And you see, it says we are to praise the Lord. He gives us command to praise the Lord with all our heart. Amen. And we'll hear that once again.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart and with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And we even find we are to do it in the congregation, basically in the congregation of the believers. And we'll hear that one last time for our listeners' sake.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
All right. Anybody know where that verse is to be found?
Well, I found the wrong one. It says found, but I went to the wrong one.
That's a pepper trap. Psalms 9.
Is it Psalm 58:25?
Nope and nope.
I told y'all I went to the wrong one, so that's, yeah, I know. I said I went to the wrong one. I mean, I fell for pepper trap too.
No, it's Psalm 26:12.
Nope.
No. Nope.
Goodness.
I'm loving this. It is in Psalms, but you're all sniffing at the wrong. Snipping up the wrong tree for the wrong coon.
Okay, play it one more time, please.
Okay.
Patient. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And you see, It says we are to praise the Lord. He gives us command to praise the Lord with all our heart. Amen. And we'll hear that once again.
Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart and with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
And we are to do it in the congregation, basically in the congregation of the believers. And we'll hear that one last time for our listeners' sake.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
Okay, one last chance. Anybody got it?
Psalms 111. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you had the right division of Psalms.
Oh, Jesus.
Psalms 111. Okay.
I'm trying to beat you, Sister McKay. I'm back here.
111 and 1.
111 and 1. That's it. You finally found it. You sniffed out the right one.
The hardest one I think I have ever had. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Me and Emily picked you out a real tough one.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Good challenge, family.
All right.
Well, you got us today, Brother Ken. You got us today.
Yep. Well, now I'm going to give you another warning. The one that you got to sniff out for next week, as you're going to hear, is also a nice pepper trap. And here it is.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
And you notice the Pharisees ask Jesus a very interesting question. We'll hear that question one more time.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
And you notice their question. Their question was, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and said unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
And that's what you gotta sniff out by next week. All right. Now, to our question that we've had for the day. Who in the Bible, and this is according to the Bible, who in the Bible is the greatest physician? Now, Ruth said Luke, and we've heard a couple people say Luke.
Well, I will go with Luke 4:43. That's a hard one. Can you hear me?
Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus would have been, but we're still...
No, it's Luke. It's Luke.
No.
Luke was a great... Luke was a physician, but... In the Bible, it actually tells you this person was a good physician, a great physician.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to go on it.
Yeah, this is Luke, the
great
author of the third gospel and the Acts of the Apostle, was also a physician.
Right.
But
that's
I said Jesus because I know he healed the blind.
Right.
And the deaf.
But does everybody give? I'll give you the answer if y'all give.
Not yet.
Okay. Queen Nye says she don't give. She ain't giving yet. Okay.
That's the
whole thing.
Does it start with an H? Okay. Oh boy!
Even Pastor Bonnie is hooked up on this one.
How many told you what the answer was and where?
Oh, you knew what the answer was.
I said where it was.
Well, I thought it was Luke, but I was wrong. So I still
look for the picture.
What did you say?
You say it's in Luke? Oh, God.
Great.
The reason why I say Christ is the great physician in Luke,
yeah.
It says, and he said to them, ye surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whosoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. So he was told as a physician to heal himself. That's when they told him to come off the cross. So that's why my answer is what it is about who was the great physician in Scripture.
Well, that is a good answer, Pastor Bonnet, but I'm talking about physical men, not the Christ man, not the God man. So we're, even though that would be appropriate if we were talking about the God man, but we're talking about just regular physical men.
Well,
of just regular men in the Bible, who was the greatest physician of regular men?
Wow. You're making us think today.
They wasn't doing surgery back in the Bible.
I mean,
what did you say, Tom?
They weren't doing surgery back in the Bible. We know the Apostle Luke was also a great physician.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jesus.
But there was one even better than Luke. There was one better than Luke.
Is Peter? No, not Peter.
No.
As a fisherman.
Well, if y'all give, I'll give you the answer.
I'm going to all the apostles.
If y'all give, I'll give you the answer.
You want to give us a hint instead of giving us the answer?
Yeah, I'll give you the answer.
No, the hint.
Okay.
If I give you the hint would be a verse that takes you and gives you the answer. So that's why I said, if y'all give, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
So are you guys ready?
Yep. Hold on. Let's go to
How God is the great physician. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved, for thou art praised. And this King James, y'all came back.
Yeah, he said it's got to be a physical man.
Yeah. Never mind. It's still the Lord. I'm going to say God. I'm going to say God is the greatest physician. He said he's looking for a person. Well, he's there. Well,
I think because I got you all stumped, I'll give you the answer. Go to James chapter 5, verse 11.
Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy.
See? Patience of Job.
Oh, man, come on. Miss Mary Ken.
Who was that, Joe?
Nobody wouldn't have never got that.
Yeah. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy. I ain't gonna mess with Ken.
I know, right? Let's go get it.
I'm still trying to get it, though. It don't went over my head.
Chris is not. He need the woodshed. He don't need no quiz. We cannot take him. He needs the whole pitch.
No, no, man. It's the one on my head, so.
He needs the whole paddle.
Oh, my goodness.
Too. Listen. Here it is. To all those ye have heard of the patience of Job. Patience. I mean, Job had patience. You know, talk through patience. Job was a great physician.
Okay.
Now I get it. He had the patience.
Job had patience.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, Brother Ken.
So because he had patience. He had patience. You have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord was very beautiful. Angle.
Don't make it
great.
It'll take a kid to find something like that.
Nobody. But the Wolf Gang.
Wolfman.
Yeah.
Tell it. Wait, Mama Six Eyes. Tell him, Six
Eyes. Hi, Pastor Bonnet. Son. Gal. Wolfman.
Wolfman.
Ruthie. First Lady Bonnet. And the rest of the listeners. Love you all.
Yeah. That's Mama Six Eyes.
Oh.
Yes. Now, Pastor Bonnet.
Yeah.
I am trying your new Bristillo.
Was it smooth? Make sure you use a filter.
Unless
you got the one that go into the Keurig.
No. I got the one that you need the filter for.
Okay.
It's good. It has definitely unique taste to it.
Uh-huh. It's good.
But,
listen, it's grind up so tight, it's really made for espresso. But if you use it in the regular coffee maker, it make it smooth like black silk.
Man, I'm up here drinking.
If you had the espresso machine,
mm-hmm.
ooh, wee. And you don't need no filter then because it's already fine.
It's definitely good though. It's definitely good.
Yeah. It's really good. It's very good. You got a good full flavor. The taste just different.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that this morning. That black silk from Folgers.
Yeah. So you got this Bristillo going. I got to send you a video, Pastor Bonnet. As you know, I am tap dancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
make sure I know you're sending it because I don't open up all these videos.
Okay.
Because you don't know what's coming. You don't know if it's a virus. Look, you don't know if it's a virus. You don't know if it's an electrical virus or just a virus in the making.
Yeah, well, it's just me burning up the floor, that's all.
Oh, okay. We can deal with that.
See, when I boogie, I boogie. And I'm telling you. So be looking out for that. And also, last week we went to Highbrook Lodge and I went bowling. I got to send that to you.
Where? You did what now?
Went bowling.
Oh, for real? That's good.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Got that little lane where they can put up the lane thing so you don't roll gutter.
I want the same lane you bowl on, same lane.
It's still the same lane. It's the same lane. All it is is a on bowling.
You brushing up
on both sides. Oh, on bowling lane.
Yes,
they have. Can you hear me right now?
Of course,
that ain't Samsung. That's Blog Talk. Y'all know Blog Talk be in and out. Anyway, definitely not the Samsung. The bowling lanes, all the bowling lanes have what's called safety rail for their young bowlers, so that the rail, it goes almost all the way down to the pin. So that way, if they throw a gutter at the very beginning, it'll move the ball back towards the middle so that can knock. Yeah.
That's cheating.
It's for the children when they bowl so they can enjoy knocking down some pins. So they got two ways. They got that, and then they got the little, some of them shaped like little dinosaurs or what have you, where you just put it on top of the dinosaur head and let it roll down its back, and it'll roll the ball straight down the lane for them. So it depends on their age. You know, I once was bowling for, I bowled in a league. We did good. And I was, before my back injury, I was getting ready to try to get my professional card. You had to keep a score. You had to have, because I was already in the league, you had to have your overall average had to be above 185 for a period of time. And I was definitely a 200 bowler, so. Yeah.
So you was overachiever, huh?
Matter of fact, when we used to go, we got so bored, we were bowling, and we used to play, we used to treat it like golf. You had to bowl and hit the left. In other words, you had to try to hit one. You couldn't throw a gutter ball because we didn't have the pin guard up. If you threw a gutter ball, that was a strike. So you were looking for the lowest score win. So we played. So you had to hit something down there. If you missed it, then you got a strike. So you had to hit something. If you missed on the spare and then hit one, it was a pickup. So it made it very interesting. We did a whole lot of stuff. Back in my bowling days, I had a Cobra and a Baldwin. And,
what is that?
That's the name of the balls. All these bowlers are known. I had a Cobra and a Baldwin. Cobra was top of the line. Baldwin was kind of a good baseline to start with. And these were personal balls. So I had my bag had two balls, my shoes, all that stuff. So when we went bowling, we didn't have to pick up rentals. You had your own bowling shoes, your own bowling bag. And good bowlers had one ball had the most weight, and then the other ball was a little bit lighter, and that was your pickup ball. I like sports, so that's why I play golf now. And I enjoy it, and it's a good pastime. Shoot pool, too. Haven't shot lately, but enjoy playing billiards. I seen another billiard game that was amazing. I can't think of the title of it, but I had never seen it until this year. None of the balls have numbers, but they are color balls and how you score. You can score 100 points on one game. And about so national or world billiards game. So I was able to see the finals on that. That was very interesting. So I love my sports. I think everybody needs some type of hobby, something to do to keep them motivated and in tune with other things, because it's more to living a Christian life than just going to church, to enjoy life in all areas of life. So, you know, if you want to tap Brother Six, may God give you the tapping ability. I want you to be able to tap to all the praise songs. some churches have dancers in the church. They do a little dramatization. Years ago, matter of fact, to all my sighted people that's listening, K&K Mind. K&K Mind, that's the name of the group. Just look them up. K&K Minds. Look them up. These are praise dancers. And when you look at their dramatization in the dance, to the songs that they dance into. It can't help but to just pull on that spiritual heart and just take you into the song because they are so in tune with it. And so it's like being at, you know, how you have in culture, you have the opera dancers. They are dancing, the ballet dancers, rather, excuse me, opera dancers, opera singers. Ballet dancers, they are dancing to a theme or something of that nature. I really want to go see this one. This is a Japanese one that I want to go see. We should have went this year, but for whatever reason, we didn't go. But I think I'm making plans to go next year when it comes back towards Memphis. Or if it comes somewhere close to Memphis, I may go later on. But I like art. So,
amen. Well, anyway, we have had our, we are definitely in our bonus time, our fellowship time. And I appreciate everyone who have tuned in and listened. And look forward to sharing with you all on tomorrow night. And I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about. You just have to tune in and listen. As you tune in and listen, invite somebody to be a part of it. I will have a question, a Q&A section, because I want to ask some questions and to get feedback, and I want us to discuss a few things. So I'll tune in tomorrow. Everybody in the world is talking about this, that, and the other. So the body of Christ, we need to be talking about things that matter to us as well, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to build us. So tune in tomorrow to Motivational Monday for our talk session. Amen. If you got questions about the anointing, because we're still on that topic, or just questions in the Bible period, write them down and go to the Q&A section. You may have an opportunity to ask a question. And if it's totally off topic of what we're talking about, we will come back and answer it in a later time. We're going to have a Q&A section, okay?
Amen.
So I want you to get your question. So don't say, well, I wish I'd known this about the Bible, and you didn't ask. It's not because you asked not. If you want understanding, let's get it. The Bible is an open book test. I don't know everything about the Bible. I'm a student of the Word. Amen. I confess.
Amen.
I'm a student of God's Word. Tells me the Spirit to show myself approval unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed that I can't tell you every verse of Scripture. My brain ain't that good. Amen.
Amen.
I know what I do to bring, and I'm willing to share what I do.
Amen. Anytime you bring Dalton out, it's a good show.
Yeah, Don gonna holler amen every time something hit his spirit. So
yeah. But one thing I like about Dalton, he just don't amen just to amen. If something got to hit his spirit. I don't even know if Ruthie and Ken knew he was on there.
And I heard him, amen, brother. He got it in.
Yeah.
Listen, it struck me. I paused for what I heard.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't hear that.
But at the end of days, this is the Lord's day. I'm glad that it gives me an opportunity. Mostly in service, I'm supporting. Today I have to minister at all. So this is my third time preaching today. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful I still have a voice.
Now, once upon a time, I would be hoarse because I'd have been and lost my voice. But with age comes some wisdom. I didn't holler and scream at all these other programs service today. I took my time and taught the lesson and didn't expound upon it to the point where I was doing a whole lot of hollering and exciting the people. I love to be inspirational that way, and every now and then it does that does catches me. I will say off guard, and the Lord will use me like that. But really and truly, my heart desire is that whatever I'm teaching, it is understood and it's received. I don't want you just to be able to say amen and then don't remember what you said amen to.
Absolutely. And I do hope this is a great, great show here, a great message today. And I do hope you all share this on your social media pages. And next week, bring a friend. Bring a friend. And then another person brings a friend. And we pack this house out. So just definitely share this on your social media. Share it in your groups. Because Pastor Bonnet brings the message each and every Sunday after preaching multiple sermons already. So we changed the show to
service.
1 o'clock.
I'm in service with my brother. And unless I'm scheduled to preach, I'm supporting. I'm taking care of sound. I'm trying to make sure ministry is coming forward. I'm conducting the service. And so I'm doing something. And today I had to and I ministered part two of the message today or in the earlier service. Y'all got part one, two, and three. You got a short version. So, because I did the recap, but just to let us know that the life of Daniel, it may have started, it may have developed to one stage where he was seemingly in captivity. But when you are called of God and anointed of God, Daniel survived four different kings. Four. Daniel was a leader through four kingships. That's saying a lot. He had longevity. He wasn't the fly by night. He was in here for a long while. Amen. That's why I tell people when the Lord do allow me to prophesy to them, I say, I'm not hiding. My name is Kenneth Bonnet. you can find me. My email address is prophetbonnet@yahoo.com. If I do something and it don't come out to be the way I shared it, and when I say it, God said, call me. Let me know.
Amen. And also,
Visiting
Papa,
tell him. Call me, let me know.
Right. There you go.
Ain't been called yet. Not for something wrong.
Like I said, if you can play programs like this,
I had one young lady. She walked up to me. We was out together. I don't know if you remember, honey. I think it was me, you, Keisha Calhoun, and Sean. I think we was at Old Charlie's or something like that. Either Old Charlie's or Barn Hill, one of them, one of those two. And And the girl walked up to the table and said, "You remember me?" I looked at my brother like, "Oh, Lord." And we started laughing. "Hey, I ain't got no more children." Oh, Lord Jesus. But then she testified about what happened in the service. And I was like, "Whoo, boy. I don't know how I'm going to explain that one to a lady." But I said, "I know." I'm glad she told the whole story. Because I can see her now.
It had you sweating bullets.
Look, I ain't know who she was. I ain't recognize her nothing. I'm like, "Oh, shit." And I think my wife at the time, I think she was just coming back from the restaurant. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was like, "Huh?"
He thought she was in trouble. Who we?
Look, I was trying to figure out who was coming up with the next lie, because I know I ain't.
Uh-oh.
It was funny. Me and my brother laughed about it for a long time. Yeah, but David comes on. You remember me?
No.
Oh, sorry. You had to be there. You had to be
there. What was the story?
No, she
man, you got to explain it.
She don't even remember. I at GCT North, and back to her about doing something in life, and how God was gonna open up the doors of opportunities and all that. And she said, I just want to say thank you. And she told it. I don't remember it, but she told it. She said, "I want to say thank you." She said, "I didn't get a chance to tell you thank you." She said, "I'm glad I saw you today to tell you thank you for allowing God to use you to speak into my life." And she gave some other, she shared some other things about, because she was about to make a wrong decision, and how when that word came to her, it helped her to wait on God, and everything that I said, it came just like that. Because sometimes people are at crossroads in life. And a crossroad is where they have to make a decision. And when you are anointed by God, you may not know anything. Daniel didn't know anything. Here we are preaching again. Daniel didn't know anything about the king's dream. But when he heard that it was serious enough that the king was about to kill everybody, he said, "Please hold up. Let me pray. Let me and my friends pray for a night. Let us seek God who reveals secrets." You know, mm-hmm. and God revealed. And he told the king, he said, "King, before I start, this is not in me. It wasn't
right.
In us. The God that reveals secret told us what he gave you." Then he gave you.
Right.
He didn't take credit for it. He did not take credit for it at all. He simply, he made sure that the understanding was, this was God doing, not ours, not mine. It was God.
Right.
And whenever we are witnessing and ministering to people, they need to experience a connection with God. I told them in the second service today, I told them, I said, somebody, the Bible said that the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of God. In other words, somebody is looking for true hope. And when you are talking
right.
To this list, then you are not feeding them what they need to hear from God. Because everybody's not going to pick up the Bible. They're picking you up. You are the Bible. You're their church. And in order for them to actually read the book, in order for them to actually go into the building, they need to see a reason to do it, and they need to see it in us. And if they can't see it in us, then they say, why bother?
Right. So, Pastor Bonnet, speaking of that, you know, we just recently lost Charles Stanley.
Charles,
were you influenced by, Charles Stanley just passed away. So we was asking everybody, what did he
Charles
mean to
who?
You? Charles Stanley. Dr.
Okay, oh, really? What did he do? Hello? Hello?
We just lost Charles.
Yeah, he was a prolific teacher.
Yeah, Charles Stanley.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a very good teacher. First Baptist in Atlanta. Yeah, he was a very good teacher. I would listen to him from time. He was an older Caucasian guy. He's up there in age,
yeah.
But he was old First Baptist.
When did he pass away? I didn't hear about that.
Then, it must have just passed. Had to be.
Yeah, because I just thought
this past Wednesday. This past Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah. Church had a. This church just did something, a remembrance of him yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on every morning. Yeah.
That's a beautiful, that edifice that they was in, that was really nice sanctuary. Very nice sanctuary. Yep. Okay. Well, our condolences to his family. Our prayers are for his congregation. We know their structure with other assistant pastors and counselors throughout that ministry, and we know that they would dearly miss him. But we are praying for the next two sit in that primary seat, that they will be strong in heart and strong in faith and will carry on the vision of the house.
Are we the only two still left on here?
No, I'm here.
I'm here. Hold on, let's see.
But anyway, it's getting ready to be 3 o'clock. I'm so hungry, I want me something to eat. I'm so hungry, I want me something to eat. But I haven't ate because I had to minister all day, so a lot of times I have to either fast so that I don't be too full to minister. You don't want no sleepiness the creeping in.
Well, I cooked last week and they didn't eat all my
food.
Hi,
thanks for calling. The person you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
That was iPhone. I was trying to see if he lost connection or not.
And Pastor Bond, if you were fasting, at what speed were you going?
About at one time I was doing 80. Yeah, going from getting up this morning, I'm pushing 75, and I got up to 80. I backed down a little bit, but I was rolling, trying to get there real quick.
I try to keep it around 75, though. I don't want to go too much.
He don't speed. He drive like Grandpa.
Oh, well. So, I'm going to let you hear what the iPhone message says. So, you guys just hold on.
I heard it when you did it.
Yeah, but you got to hear the whole thing.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Okay. We're holding. Holding on.
Okay, this time he picked up, but it says he has Verizon. That number had been disconnected, and he has Verizon, which he does not. So I don't know how he did that, but that's what the iPhone does.
Tell Siri to stop lying to people and let people in. Well,
he's right here. He answered.
No, Six was out working on his worm ranch.
Oh, no. That was real slow.
He was working on his worm ranch. He had on his worm hat, his worm boots, and the worm chaps. And he was going on one of them great worm roundups, you know. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep those crawlers rolling. Rawhide. Whoosh, whoosh. The only thing I kept telling Six is it's going to take an awful small horse.
Well, tell him don't put the horseshoes off. They won't fit.
Sanford. Oh, he's doing something special.
Well, he's a special guy, so.
Yeah, he is.
Well, people, I love you all. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each of us here now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Out of your head to the soles of your feet until the next appointed time when we come together again as a body of believers. We thank God for this opportunity. We love you with the love of Christ. Love us in return. Our prayers are for you, and we know you're praying for us. God bless.
God bless everyone.